Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, August 31st, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And we will be resuming at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer. This gives you the privacy of your priesthood, gives you the opportunity of examining your own soul. Make sure that there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life. Now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We realize, sir, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we will note the corrected translation starting at verse 1. And in verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts out by addressing loser believers in Corinth. And then remember, there were many, many local churches in Corinth. Corinth was a huge city in the ancient world. And they held the record for reversionism, different categories of reversionism. They came up with new categories of reversionism. And so in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had to pretty much give them tough love and hit them over the head again and again and again and again. By the time he gets to 2 Corinthians, a lot of them have straightened out. But there are still those loser believers. And he starts out with them in verse 1. Do we have to start all over again and begin to commend ourselves? Or do we need, like certain people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? And the negative may says, no, we don't. But your critical mental attitude toward us says, we do. Then he switches to the winter believers, and there's a lot of them that came around after 1 Corinthians, and they are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that's who he picks up now. Verse 2. You, winter believers, you are our letter of recommendation because you have been written in our hearts in the past, with the result that you will always be in our hearts, and you are known and read again and again by everyone. And when he says that, by both man and angels. Verse 3. You keep on being shown that you are a letter of recommendation from Christ by means of being ministered the Word of God by us, being fed the spiritual food of Bible doctrine, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, absolutely not on tablets of stone, the Mosaic Law, but on tablets of human heart. And that is the target for the Word of God. You have the most powerful book in the universe in your laps. But it's not powerful in your lap. It's powerful when it's here in your heart. And God has set up a whole system, grace perspicacity, to get the Word of God from the printed page into your heart. That's the target. Once it gets into your heart, it is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of the motivations and thoughts of your heart. It's powerful. And that powerful Word of God combined with the powerful Spirit of God enables you to live the spiritual life and glorify God. Then verse 4. And we, when he says we, Paul had the whole team. He had pastor-teacher Timothy, pastor-teacher Titus, Silvanus. They were all there with him, and they were all excellent communicators of the Word of God. And we, Paul and his team, keep on having and holding such confidence by the agency of Christ before God. Paul and his team of faithful communicators have maximum confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior and his salvation work on the cross. They have maximum confidence in the grace gospel, salvation by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. They have maximum confidence that they are in union with Jesus Christ, royal family of God, as the result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. They have maximum confidence that they have a personal relationship with the living and true God through faith in Jesus Christ. They also know and understand that Satan is the temporary ruler of planet Earth. And while the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father in the third heaven, God has his royal family as his representatives here on earth. As the winner believer lives in the middle of the devil's world, he has maximum confidence in the grace and the power of God. He has maximum confidence in the filling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God, maximum confidence in the power of the absolute truth of the Word of God. He has maximum confidence in the armor of God that has been given to him, Ephesians 6, 10 to 20. He has maximum confidence in God's problem-solving devices to handle all the testing and trials here in phase 2. Paul had maximum confidence in the grace and power of God, 1 Timothy 1, 12 to 14. Paul had confidence in those Corinthian believers who had positive volition and genuine humility because they were living the spiritual life by the power of the Spirit of God and by the power of the Word of God. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. And Paul and his team have two very important virtues: genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. This is really an amazing verse, especially when you consider that many people consider the Apostle Paul to be the greatest human genius in all of human history. Nobody had a greater mind than the Apostle Paul. And yet, the Apostle Paul had maximum genuine humility and grace orientation. Yes, he was the genius of all geniuses, but he never depended on his genius at all. He depended totally on the grace and the power of God. That's what we have here in verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. That we always start with the King James. This is the present active indicative of the to be verb, eimi, with the objective negative, uk, plus the conjunction hati, with the nominative plural of the adjective hikanos, plus the prepositional phrase apa, plus the genitive plural of the reciprocal pronoun heautu. Uk hati esmen. Uk is an objective negative. That's O-U-C-H, not ouch. Uk. It is an objective negative, and that slams the door. So how do you translate that? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And this is coming from the mouth of the greatest genius, human genius of all time. Absolutely not. And then hati. That's H-O-T-I, hati. And it's sometimes causal, but not here. Here it introduces object clause, and you translate it that. And then esmen, the to-be verb, is we are. So this literally says, absolutely not that we are. Absolutely not that we are hikanos. Looks like that in the Greek, H-I-K-A-N-O-S, hikanos. A couple of things on this word. One, literally, hikanos means sufficient, adequate, or large enough. Literally, sufficient, adequate, large enough. Two, figuratively, which is how it's used in our verse, it means competent, qualified, able. Competent, qualified, able. Three, it carries with it the connotation of being worthy. And then we have the preposition apa. Looks like that in the Greek, apo, apa. And apa is the preposition of ultimate source. And it literally means from the ultimate source of. And then we have the reciprocal pronoun heautu. Looks like that in the Greek, H-E-A-U-T-O-U. And you know the letter H is really a breathing mark. It's like a mouth breathing over the word. That's the letter H. Heautu. Heautu is a reciprocal pronoun. It means oneself, and the plural, ourselves. So the corrected translation, absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves. Now this is coming out from the mouth of the greatest genius of all time, human genius. Absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves. And then we have to think anything as of ourselves. This is the aorist metal infinitive of logizomai, plus the accusative singular neuter of the indefinite pronoun tis, plus the conjunction hos, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive plural of heautu. All right, now this is logizomai, and this has been an old friend in Romans, but it's not used the same way here as it was used in Romans. Logizomai. Romans is our Sunday class, and we'll be in Romans again this Sunday. And the second class is the Lord's Supper, communion service this Sunday. We've had logizomai many, many, many times in Romans. So a couple of things on logizomai. One, first of all, logizomai is a commercial technical term. A commercial technical term. And it means to credit to someone's account or to impute. This is the verb for imputation and the doctrine of imputation in the scriptures. So that is, it's first of all one of its meaning. Commercial technical term to credit to someone's account to impute. Underneath that, subpoint one, logizomai is used this way throughout Romans. It's used in Romans 4:3, Romans 4:5, Romans 4:9, Romans 4:22. We've seen it in all those passages. It's used in Galatians 3:6 this way. It's used in James 2:23 this way. So this logizomai is used as the doctrine of imputation, to impute. Romans 4:3, 4:5, 4:9, 4:22, Galatians 3:6, James 2:23. Subpoint 2. It is used for the imputation of divine righteousness to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. This is the verb, logizomai, used for the imputation of divine righteousness to the one who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Subpoint 3. It is used for phase 1 justification. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ. This is the verb used for phase 1 justification. Justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. At the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God logizomais. He imputes his righteousness to the believer and then declares him to be righteous. That's logizomai, and that's how it's used in its technical term. So, at the moment of faith in Christ, God logizomais and imputes his righteousness to the believer and then declares him to be righteous. Plus R. Point two. Secondly, logizomai means to think, to consider, to believe, to be of the opinion. And this is how the Apostle Paul uses logizomai in our verse. This is not the technical term for imputation. This is the second use of logizomai, to think, to consider, to believe, to be of the opinion. And this is how Paul uses logizomai in our verse. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, viewing Paul, Silvanus, Timothy, Titus, thinking, and opinion in its entirety. The middle voice is deponent, middle in form, but active in meaning. The infinitive is exegetical, completing the idea of the main verb, eimi. So it says, we absolutely are not competent or qualified to think or be of the opinion that anything we teach is because of who and what we are. We absolutely are not competent or qualified to think or be of the opinion that anything we teach is because of who and what we are, because of how smart we are. And this is the smartest, most greatest human genius of all time stating this. That's why I totally love this verse. While the Apostle Paul was a great, great, maybe the greatest human genius of all time, he was not impressed with himself. He was not impressed with who and what he was. And he did not rely on his human genius at all. He relied totally on the grace and the power of God, not on his own human genius. And that is absolutely amazing. The neuter of the indefinite pronoun tis it looks that way in the Greek and in English. That's how it looks. But when it's in the neuter, it looks like this, T-I. The neuter of the indefinite pronoun tis means anything. And it refers to anything we teach. It refers to Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy's teaching of the Word of God. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy's teaching of the Word of God was absolutely not from the source of themselves. It was totally from the grace and power of God. You can't be any more emphatic and powerful in this statement. The indefinite pronoun always refers to a definite category. Here it refers specifically to the teaching of the Word of God. And then we have the comparative particle hos. H long O-S, hos. And it should be translated as. And then we have the preposition ek. And here, ek is the preposition of the reason, which is a presupposition for something. And you translate it, you can translate it, one, with reason of, by the reason of, two, as a result of, or three, because of. It can be translated by reason of, as a result of, because of. And then we have the reciprocal pronoun heautu once again, ourselves, because of who and what we are, or as a result of who and what we are. So the corrected translation, absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think or be of the opinion that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves or because of who and what we are. Let me give that to you again. Absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think or be of the opinion that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves or because of who and what we are. And then we have, Paul says, but our sufficiency is of God. This is the conjunction Allah plus the nominative singular of hikanotes with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase ek, plus the genitive singular of theos with the definite article. Now we have the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek, Allah, A-L-L-A. This Allah is correctly translated but, and it sets up a contrast between one, who and what Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus are, with who and what God is. It sets up a contrast. This is the strongest conjunction of contrast in the Greek. It sets up a contrast between who and what Paul and his team are with who and what God is. Two, it sets up a contrast between the human talent and genius of Paul and his team with the grace and power of God. It sets up a contrast between the human talent and genius of Paul and his team with the grace and the power of God. Three, it sets up a contrast between human ability and energy of the flesh with the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now there were a lot of false teachers that were coming into Corinth, and they were operating on their own ability and talent and human energy of the flesh. The Apostle Paul said, and they were accusing Paul, teaching false doctrine. And Paul says, everything that we communicate to you is by the grace and power of God. Not who and what we are, but who and what God is. And then we have hikanotes. So you see, we had back here, let's see if we can find. We had hikanos. Now we have a form of that. Now we have hikanotes. That's H-I-K-A-N-O-T long E-S. Hikanotes. Now, hikanotes is a hapax legomenon. No way. Yes, it's a hapax legomenon. This is the only time this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in the Septuagint or other Greek versions of the Old Testament, including the Apocrypha. So, one, hikanotes means fitness, capability, qualification, competence. Fitness, capability, qualification, competence. Two, Paul and his team of faithful communicators, capability and competence is totally because of the grace and power of God. Paul and his team of faithful communicators, capability and competence, is totally because of the grace and the power of God. They totally understood that. Every single one of these men, Paul, Timothy, Titus, they knew they were nothing. And here Paul knew he was nothing. The greatest human genius of all time, and he knew he was nothing and God was everything. They all knew this 100%. They were nothing and God is everything. And therefore they operated only by the grace and power of God. They knew that they didn't earn or deserve one blessing from God. Now God blessed them in phenomenal ways. He gave them all 40 salvation blessings of salvation. They had logistical grace, blessing, and support day after day after day. They advanced to spiritual maturity. God poured out on them greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings for time. They had phenomenal greater grace blessings. But it was all by the grace and power of God. And God has the same thing for you. The very same thing for you. All of you, when you believed in Christ, you received 40 phenomenal blessings of salvation. Day after day, He gives you logistical grace, blessing, and support. He keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world. You have food to eat. I look around and I can tell. You've had food to eat. Some of you have had a lot of food to eat. Nobody's in here starving to death. You had transportation, you got here. Maybe the transportation was your feet, I don't know. You have clothes, I see you have clothes. We're glad that you put some on. You can come in a barrel. I've said that for 45 years. Nobody's come in a barrel, and I don't expect anybody will. The only person I have seen in a barrel was from Wyoming at the basketball championship here, Thomas and Mac. He was a Wyoming fan. He came in a barrel, which tells you, be careful of what you drink when you're in Wyoming. Two, Paul and his team of faithful communicators, capability and competence is totally because of the grace and power of God. Three, it is absolutely not because of their own personal genius or their human abilities or their human talents. And they had wonderful human abilities and talents, but they understood it was absolutely not because of their own personal genius, human ability, or human talent. The genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego is our. Our refers to Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, and then ek plus the genitive singular of theos, from God. From God. From the grace and power of God. So, this great verse. Absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves or because of who and what we are. But our capability and competence comes from God, the grace and power of God. I tell you, this is one of my favorite verses. It's just fantastic to see these great communicators of the Word with genuine humility. They knew that God was everything and they were absolutely nothing. And grace orientation. Absolutely not that we are competent or qualified from the ultimate source of ourselves to think that anything we teach comes as a result of ourselves because of who and what we are. But our capability and competence comes from God, the grace and power of God. One, the Apostle Paul was very likely the greatest human genius in all of human history. So for him, under the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, to give us 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, is awesome. The Apostle Paul was very likely the greatest human genius in all of human history. Two, yet the Apostle Paul had great, genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. He had great genuine humility and maximum grace orientation. And that's where you should be, all of you. When you get to that point of genuine humility and maximum grace orientation, you'll go all the way. Absolutely. Go all the way. This is where all of you want to be. You won't, you'll never move out and start advancing till you realize that you are nothing. You are nothing. And God is everything. If you think you're something, well, you'll never advance very far. If you think you deserve all kinds of blessings, you'll never advance and you walk anywhere. If you ever realize and get to the point that you don't deserve even one blessing, not even one blessing, but you realize you've been graced out by God because of who and what He is. God in grace pours phenomenal blessings on you because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. God doesn't bless you because you're nice, and I hate the word nice. Nice is a four-letter word. He doesn't bless you because you're nice. Now, some of you will say, oh, well, I'm going to be a pissant. No, He isn't going to bless you because you're a pissant either. He blesses you because of who and what He is. His amazing grace. Not who and what you are. Not because you graduated from kindergarten. We're glad you did. I flunked out of kindergarten. My mother took me to kindergarten. I flunked. I didn't flunk. They threw me out. Because I got in there and I cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And the teacher took me out and set me on a curb. I sat on the curb, called my mother, come and get this son of yours. All he does is cry in here. I sat on the curb, Mom drives by, hi, Mom. I said, I don't ever want to go back to kindergarten again. In fact, I'm never going to school. Mother says, yes, you are. But you don't have to go to kindergarten. And then first grade came, and I had to go to first grade. Same thing. Cried and cried and cried going to first grade. I don't want to go. Oh, I want to stay with you and Dad forever. Well, that ain't going to happen. I got news for you. Cried all the way to first grade until I got in and saw the teacher, Miss Renner. Miss Renner. I was in love with Miss Renner and I was in first grade. I was 6. She was 26. I didn't cry the next day. Mom thought I was going to be crying. I said, no, no. I got this. I can handle this. And Miss Renner, she's not married either. So I flunked out. You think God's going to bless you because you graduated kindergarten, high school, college, graduate school? You think God's going to bless you because you have a high human IQ? No way. You think God's going to bless you because you're beautiful or handsome? No. You think God's going to bless you because you're athletic? No. He blesses you because of who and what He is, not because of who and what you are. And that's grace. That's grace. Paul totally understood grace. Maximum grace orientation. So what was the last point I gave you there?
Number two.
Two? We're that far? Okay. Three. In the Apostle Paul's thinking, God was everything. And he, Paul, was nothing. And here is the Apostle Paul, who was very likely the greatest human genius in all of human history. But in Paul's thinking, in his thinking, God was everything, and he, Paul, was nothing. Four, Paul lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. He advanced to spiritual maturity and grace righteousness. He had virtue love brought to completion in his heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and he glorified God to the maximum. So Paul lived the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advanced to spiritual maturity and grace righteousness. Five. He lived his life by the grace and the power of God, not by his own human talent, ability, or genius. He lived his life by the grace and power of God, not by his own human genius, talent, and ability. Six, Paul was totally impressed with who and what God is, not who and what Paul is. Paul was totally impressed with who and what God is, not who and what Paul is. Seven, and therefore, Paul taught. He taught the grace gospel, and he taught the grace and truth of the Word of God. He taught the grace gospel. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. There are hundreds and hundreds of false gospels, and they always throw in works. Who and what you are and what you do. And they're all false gospels, and no one can get to heaven by following that. And he taught the grace and truth of the Word of God. And there's so much legalism and false doctrine that the spiritual life is because of who and what you are and what you do. Following the commandments of the law. Well, there's only one person who has ever followed the commandments of the law, and that was Jesus Christ. And no one else in all of human history has. And James 2:10 says, if you fail at one point of the law, you're guilty of all. And everyone has failed. The purpose of the law is to point out that we're sinners. That's codex number one. Point out that we're sinners. And we need a Savior. Codex number two gives us the shadow Christology and soteriology presenting Jesus Christ, the Savior. So codex number one tells us we're sinners and we need a Savior. Codex number two in shadow Christology and soteriology points to who the Savior is, Jesus Christ. So Paul, point seven, taught the grace gospel and the grace and truth of the Word of God totally by the grace and power of God. Paul taught the grace gospel and the grace and truth of the Word of God totally by the grace and power of God, the filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. All right. Now, one of my favorite verses right there. And to who, especially that it comes from Paul. And then, verse 6. Who also hath made us able. And now we're going to have a third. We had hekanos, hekanotes, and now we have a third word in that group here. And now it's the verb. We have the relative pronoun host plus the conjunction kai. Plus the aorist active indicative of hikanao. Here's the verb from which the other terms came from. Plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego. The relative pronoun hos. H-O-S, the relative pronoun host, means who, and it refers to God the Father. And then we have the conjunction chi. And I know many of you will say, I know that means and. Well, sometimes it is continued to mean and, but not here. Here it's an adjunctive chi. The adjunctive chi is translated also. The adjunctive use of chi. And then the verb hikanao. H-I-K-A-N-O, long O. Hikanao. All right. One. This verb is only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, and both times it's from the Apostle Paul. It's found in our verse, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, and it's found in Colossians 1, 12. So let's turn over to Colossians 1, 12. And look at the only other use of this verb. So it's only found two times in the New Testament scriptures, both by the Apostle Paul, our verse, 2 Corinthians 3, 6, and Colossians 1, verse 12. Colossians 1, 12. Giving thanks to the Father. Now, right there, that's somebody who has grace orientation. You'll know when you have grace orientation, because when you have grace orientation, you will have thanksgiving directed toward God constantly. That's grace orientation. If you don't have grace orientation, why, you don't have thanksgiving toward God. Remember, what do you hear from this pulpit? You ought to have thanksgiving every single day. That's how God set up His plan, for you to have thanksgiving every single day, to be thankful every single day for who and what God is, for who and what His plan is, His grace is, what He's provided for you, and have thanksgiving every single day. You parents, in training your children, you have it's what an awesome privilege for one thing, and what a tremendous responsibility in the other. You have the responsibility of training your children and teaching them. And part of that teaching is teaching them humility and teaching them to say please and thank you. Now, Pastor Olson has, I call them vitamins. The kids come back into my office to get vitamins. It's really good stuff. It's chocolate. That's one of the best vitamins you can get, chocolate. Especially dark chocolate. Tyrone's all in on that. They come back and they say, Pastor Olson, may I please have a vitamin? Yes, you may. In fact, I think you ought to have two. In fact, why don't you get three? And they have no problem with that. And then they say thank you. Now, every once in a while, they come back. And after a while, they say, Pastor Olson, may I please have a vitamin? Yes. They take three and shoot out the door. Whoa, come back. Come back in here. Did you say thank you? No, thank you. No. Put them back in. Put them back where you got them. And when you come next time, you say please, and then you say thank you. You see, when you don't say thank you, you're basically saying, I deserve this. I deserve it. And I don't have to say thank you because I ought to be getting this in the first place. You should be giving me these things. And I said, but actually, you don't deserve anything And when you are giving someone, it's the giver is what's important, not the gift. It's the giver. That's what God is. God's the giver. God is the giver. And so you say thank you to the Father. You say thankful to God for all the things He does. But you can start out right when they're young. Now, when they're really, really young, for some reason, there are just certain little ones that come in there and their old sin. Don't have to tell me they have a sin nature. I know they have a sin nature. They come in there and even their mothers come in and family comes in and grandpas and everybody comes in. Say please. Please, just say please. All you got to do. Okay, why don't you just come back tomorrow? And maybe you can practice saying please, and then after you receive it, say thank you. Well, you'll know when you have grace orientation, because you will always be telling God thank you. You'll have thanksgiving every single day. Thankful for everything He brings into your life. And when you advance to spiritual adulthood, that thanksgiving includes suffering for blessing. And you can thank Him for that suffering for blessing, because that's what it is. It's blessing that God gives to those spiritually mature believers who are qualified to receive it. And so you can say, thank you, Father, for this test. Thank you for this trial. Thank you for these hurdles I get to run over. And that's the way you won't find any pastor in any church anywhere in the world that will talk about suffering for blessing in terms of running hurdles, but you'll get it here. That's the way I look at it. They're hurdles for you to clear over by God's problem-solving devices. And when you do, you glorify Him. He gets the honor, He gets the glory forever and ever and ever. So, Colossians 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. There's our verb, hikanao, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. Hikanao, qualified you. So this verb's only used two times. Our verse, 2 Corinthians 3:6, Colossians 1:12. Two, hikanao means to qualify. To empower, to authorize. Three, hikanao. This verb takes a double accusative. Qualify someone for something. Both in the accusative case, qualify someone for something. Four, the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is qualify us. Us being Paul and his team, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus. Qualify us, that's the first accusative. Five, the second accusative is the accusative plural of diakonos. D-I-A-K-O-N-O-S. Diakonos. And diakonos is the word ministers or servants. So that's the two accusatives. Qualified us, that's the first accusative, as ministers, that's the second accusative. There's the double accusative. Qualified us as ministers. Six, the other thing about this verb, hikanao, see that ending right there? Omicron Omega. The Omicron Omega ending is causative. God the Father has caused, motivated to qualify the Apostle Paul and pastor teachers Timothy and Titus as ministers of a new covenant. God the Father was caused, motivated to qualify the Apostle Paul and pastor teachers Timothy and Titus as ministers of a new covenant. 7. The new covenant. What is the new covenant? The Musterion. M-U-S-T, long E-R-I-O-N, Musterion. And this is the mystery doctrines of the church age, the new covenant, the mystery doctrines of the church age, the new and unique spiritual life, a supernatural way of life which demands supernatural power for its execution. It includes the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit as a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit. This is a new covenant. Never occurred before in human history where every single believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The universal indwelling of the Spirit, the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit as the power to live this unique spiritual life and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And third, it includes the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Every single church age believer is baptized into union with Jesus Christ. Never occurred before again in human history. This is a new covenant. The new covenant, the Musterion, the mystery doctrines of the church age, the new spiritual life that operates by supernatural power for its execution, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, providing a base of operations for the filling of the Spirit and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which enters us into union with Jesus Christ and makes us royal family of God in union with the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, who, God the Father, has qualified us as ministers, empowered, authorized us as ministers of the New Testament, it says in the King James. This is the genitive singular of kainos plus the genitive singular of diatheke. Kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. Kainos. One, kainos means new. New. Two, it is used in the sense that the old is obsolete and should be replaced by what is new. It's used in the sense that the old is obsolete and should be replaced by what is new. Three, in such a case, the new is superior in kind to the old. The new is superior in kind to the old. Four, the old is the Mosaic Law. Five, the new is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the unique spiritual life by the spiritual skill. The new is the ministry of God the Holy Spirit to empower us to live the unique spiritual life of by the spiritual skills. And kainos modifies the noun diatheke. D-I-A-T-H long E K long E. Diatheke. Point six, diatheke is God's decree or covenant for the royal family of God and the church age. Diatheke is God's decree or covenant for the royal family of God and the church age. 7. This new covenant is in contrast to the old covenant, the Mosaic Law. This new covenant is in contrast to the old covenant, the Mosaic Law. Eight, the old covenant kills, but the new covenant gives life. The old covenant kills or condemns, but the new covenant gives life. Who, God the Father, has qualified, empowered, authorized us as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And that's where we will start next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.